This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Amity Technology, Pivot Bio, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill. Oahe Grain General Manager Tim Lucan says harvest is rolling along in the Oneida, South Dakota area.
Kind of dumping a little bit of Milo, a little bit of sunflower, a little bit of corn. Beans are wrapped up. We don't handle beans here, but the other three crops, we're taking them in daily here since the last freeze about 10, 15 days ago. Crop got planted in good shape. We were a little bit dry this summer. Little concerns on corn yield south of here. The worst I heard is like 80. Otherwise, you're looking at 120 to 150. This area right around here, right at 110 to 170. And north of here, it's going to be 150 to 200. I mean, that's kind of the way the weather pattern was here all summer.
And Lucan says those yields are average to maybe slightly above average for his area for most of those crops.
The farmers that we've been coming in, they're very surprised at where this stuff is coming from on all the crops. Milo the same way. Heard a lot of 80 to 95 bushel Milo. Sunflowers, 2,000 to 3,000 pounds here, and a lot of 2,200, 2,500 pound flowers. Test weight's a little bit light on that this year, and that's due to we didn't have quite the fall rains like we had last year.
American Crystal Sugar Company General Agronomist Joe Hastings says they're on the last leg of sugar beet harvest.
We are about 98% complete, we estimate, for this year's crop, and it's been a good string of days we've been able to put together. Right now we're just stopped for a little bit. It got cold here last night, so the beets did freeze under the canopy or the leaves, which typically can act like an insulation to keep them from freezing, but it just got so cold last night that we're having to stop. It might be stopped for a few days till it can warm up a bit again, which is in the forecast, and let those beets heal so they can be stored for long-term stockpile storage.
Hastings says despite the slight delay in harvest, the sugar content has been strong, and he's happy with how harvest is going.
The sugar content, you know, the dailies have been great, around that 19%. I think for the year end, we'll get all our numbers put together, but probably end up in that mid-18s, you know, somewhere in there, 18.5, 18.4 is what it may be looking like. So great, excellent crop that way. Tonnage is looking good as well. We anticipated that our tons would be down or below our five-year average or because of our late planting, which is the case, but still they responded very nicely to this growing season. So it wasn't a complete skunk. It was very good. And it's giving us enough tons to get us to where we want it to be.
Mother Nature has allowed the combines to continue to roll without interruption.
Harvest has been very, very rapid, probably one of the fastest harvest on soybeans that we've seen in the Northern Plains. There just hasn't been any weather events to really stop soybean harvest, which is quite rare.
That's Bayer Crop Protection Area Business Manager Troy Seiler. Yields are described as above average in northeast North Dakota, northwestern Minnesota. Trendline yields are common in southeastern North Dakota. Seiler says the crop is more disappointing as you go west due to dry soil conditions. Corn harvest, though, is off to a good start.
Yields are pretty decent. If you look into the Central Valley, northwest Minnesota, northeast North Dakota, corn yields are tremendous. Hearing some great numbers coming out of that area, and moisture respectable as well, below 20s. You get into southeast North Dakota, pretty good, a lot running in the 160s, 170s, very dry, and also south central North Dakota, central North Dakota, really good corn yields, and fairly dry as well, a lot below 20.
According to the weekly crop progress report, in North Dakota, 25% of the corn is harvested. That's behind last year, but ahead of the long-term average. 76% of the soybean harvest is done, slightly behind last year and ahead of the five-year average. The North Dakota sunflower harvest is 26% complete. Harvest is wrapping up for canola, potatoes, and dry edible beans. Topsoil moisture supplies are rated 67% short to very short.
And according to the Crop Progress Report, 36% of Minnesota's corn is in the bin. That's up from 14% last week. Soybean harvest, 83% done. 20% improvement over week over week. 25% of Minnesota sunflower crop has been harvested, which is slightly behind the long-term average for this year.
For the week ending Sunday, 44% of South Dakota's harvest was done. 84% of the soybean harvest is wrapped up. Both corn and soybeans are well ahead of the five-year average. 18% of the sunflowers are harvested. Pasture and rain conditions in South Dakota are rated 63% poor to very poor. And that's Harvest Hotline, presented by Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Pivot Bio.
Rain and snow is expected to fall across much of the northern plains Saturday through Monday. World Weather Incorporated says up to 3/4 of an inch is possible. Occasional rain and some snow showers are expected beginning next week Tuesday and will continue off and on through the end of October. Temperatures are expected to gradually warm into the 60s and 70s for daytime highs by late this week, but falling below average during the second week of that two-week outlook.
Much of southern Brazil and Paraguay will see regular rains into Friday that will slow field work. World Weather Incorporated says the western half of Mato Grosso will see good rains, while eastern Mato Grosso will be drier. Much of central and southern Brazil will be dry Friday through next week Wednesday before rains increase. World Weather says more rain has been added to Argentina's forecast through next week. However, rains in much of northern Argentina will not be enough to do more than briefly improve soil moisture. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. With harvest underway across the country, one method of transportation is suffering from limited rains across the Midwest. The Mississippi River's water levels have become too shallow for many barges to effectively navigate. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch says grain shipments have already been reduced.
When that level gets too low, it makes it impossible for barges to go through because of the depth of water it takes and how far those barges sink into the water. So depending where you are on the river and how deep the stage is there or that level of water above sea level, it'll kind of dictate whether barges can get by at all or how much the industry is going to have to agree to reduce volume of grain, because, you know, depending on how much grain you have in the barge, it's going to push the depth that the boat is sinking in the water more, and it's also going to limit the amount of boats a single tugboat can pull.
Munch says prices have increased because demand of boats and barges is increasing.
Last week, they reported, because of those reduced water conditions, a 20 to 27% reduction in the volume of goods that barges can move. And they also limited the number of barges a single boat can tow to 25, which is between 17 and 38% reduction, depending on the size of the tugboats. So that really means that more barges will be needed to move the same quantity of products, and more boats will be needed to move a smaller number of barges. So that pressures capacity. There's a limited number of barges out there. There's a limited number of boats out there, and that skyrockets up prices.
The backlog of barge movement has pushed barge costs incredibly higher. During the week of October 4th, the average barge tariff reached a record level at over 2,000%, their underlying benchmark, up 50% from last year.
Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhoek says transportation challenges will impact the entire grain industry.
Not just about growing a crop, and it's not just about having demand for that crop. You have to have effective connectivity between supply and demand. And that's what our inland waterway system, our freight rail system, our trucking, our ports, that's what they all serve to achieve. And when they're operating as designed, it's an extraordinary thing to watch, and it really is a big reason why U.S. agriculture is so competitive. But when things start to go awry and we have challenges, and certainly we're witnessing that right now, it really has a negative impact.
While basis levels in the northern plains have not been impacted yet, Steenhoek expects that to happen.
So I think there's going to be a lot of areas of this country that are quite far removed from the inland waterway system that will really feel the ripple effect of this. There's just so much that's moved on our inland waterway system that you can't significantly curtail it without having a pretty noticeable ripple effect throughout the country.
USDA announced that distressed borrowers with qualifying USDA farm loans have already received nearly $800 million in assistance. Today's announcement kicks off a process to aid distressed farm loan borrowers by making current accounts up to date. USDA also paid the next scheduled installment for distressed loan borrowers under the Inflation Reduction Act. In addition, USDA is set to administer $66 million to support up to 7,000 direct loan borrowers. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says farmers shouldn't have to worry about foreclosure after facing a few difficult years.
First order of business was to bring those folks current, to utilize roughly $600 million of the $3.1 billion to make payments, in essence, to bring those borrowers current, and to the extent that they have a direct loan with USDA, to also provide them an additional annual payment, to give those 11,000 borrowers the peace of mind that they don't have to be concerned or worried about the possibility of foreclosure. So approximately 11,000 folks have or will receive correspondence from the USDA advising them that these payments have been made and that they are now current and that they will remain current until the next annual payment is due next year.
USDA also set aside $500 million focusing on delinquent, bankrupt, and capitally challenged borrowers. Vilsack says outside factors affecting cash flow for some operations.
In looking and understanding their current circumstance, may be confronted with a cash flow challenge for a variety of reasons. You know, just to pick one, we now have barge issues on the Mississippi River because of drought. And that may impact and affect folks who are doing business with USDA.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Sitting in a combine gives farmers a good view of what weed strategies worked and which ones didn't. BASF Central Region Tech Service Representative Dan Mellis says two weeds stuck out as being problematic this year.
In my geography, kochias typically our biggest foe, I guess, as it comes to weeds. We had a lot of weed pressure. I know with the drought last year, kochia kind of got out of control in certain areas and put a lot of weed seed in the ground. And this year it came more than others probably even. And as you get over into the eastern part of my geography, water hemp was also an issue where water hemp just seems to be getting worse and worse all the time.
Malas says weed strength varied field by field. MLS also encourages farmers to implement early start weed control.
First thing would be early season weed control, making sure to put down a good residual product to help keep the weed population down. Once you get that taken care of, do early scouting. Will really help with that. Weed size can make a big difference when you're doing weed control. Making sure that the weeds are 3 inches or less really helps reduce that population. Once they get a little bit bigger, they have more growing points, and that makes them that much harder to control. So residual plus using good in-season herbicides will really help keep those kochia water hemp problem weeds at bay.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. December wheat Minneapolis down a penny, 954 and a quarter. Chicago is down 11 and a quarter at 849 and three quarters. And Kansas City December wheat down 7.5 at 944 and three quarters. December corn down 1 at 682 and a half. March down 1.5 at 688 and a quarter. November soybeans down 11.5 at 1373 and three quarters. March soybeans down 7 and three quarters at 1392 and a quarter. November canola is $4.70 a metric ton higher, $8.60.20 Canadian. December live cattle up 70 cents. November feeder cattle $1.42 higher. And February lean hogs up $1.75. This is the Red River Farm Network.